This is an iHeart podcast.
Are you ready to feel good about something? Politically, are you ready to feel good? You're about to feel good about something. Coming up on I'm Right. Welcome to I'm Right. It's time for This Week in Wokeism. Do you remember when Florida first passed that anti-grooming law? Remember how fired up I was and what I was saying as soon as they passed it about what an opportunity it was and what? Do you remember what I said? In case you don't remember, here's what I said. The Democratic Party, the entire thing, and every media person who's in that party should be forced today to be on the defensive. This is an opportunity for Republicans to play offense right now. The Republican National Committee, every single Republican running for Congress, every single Republican in a state house race should be putting the question to their Democrat opponents. Do you or do you not support this bill? You don't support the bill? Okay, so you're a pedophile? Or you're not a pedophile? So you support pedophilia? Do you believe in the grooming of six-year-olds? Do you believe teachers should be allowed to push their sexuality on pre-K kids? Every Democrat in the country should be scared to death to be asked about this right now. The opponent is right there. He's teetering. He's off balance. Knock him out. Hit him. Now. And they are. I will tell you, I haven't spent my whole life involved in politics, full disclosure. Just hang with me for a second. I was all into history when I was a kid. I didn't really get into politics till I was probably 22, 23. So what's that, about 18 years. About 18 years I've been involved in politics. Not a ton of time, but enough. Never, not one time in my entire life of caring about politics, paying attention to politics, have I seen the right go on offense and make the communists genuinely afraid. Afraid of a cultural issue. And right now, we're making them afraid. I hope you feel good. I hope you know what's happening out there. We have Republican senators during a Supreme Court nomination asking questions about child predators, asking questions about what is a woman, putting them on the defensive. We now, speaking of the Florida anti-grooming bill, we have states like Ohio and Texas showing interest in passing a similar bill. Just like I said to do, everyone should be out there doing this. And why? Let's recap this. Balance. You ever watch a fight? Do you ever watch a boxing match, MMA, wrestling, any kind of fight like that? Guys who do it will tell you, you're watching their hands and their arms. Guys who do it will watch their feet. Who's on balance? Who's off balance? Who doesn't have the appropriate leverage? Why? If it's a boxing match, why are you looking at his feet? He's not kicking you. Because once he's off balance, you have the opportunity to finish him. They are off balance, and they are afraid. Why? Well, because they've been exposed. They have been grooming children for a long time. A long time they've been grooming your kids, our kids, within the school system. They've been grooming kids from corporate America, like Disney, Nickelodeon. They have been grooming kids, and they've been doing it right underneath our noses, and we just weren't paying attention. And now they got exposed as being absolute freaks. And not only did they get exposed, not only are they afraid, the public is with you and with me. This is an issue even Democrat parents don't want their six-year-olds being talked to about sex in kindergarten. How scared are they? Well, here's MSNBC.
I want everyone to focus on what she is accusing people of here. There it is. She said the quiet part loud. If you don't agree with the bill, you are actively cultivating young children to sexually abuse them. Everything you don't like is the work of this nefarious cabal of pedophiles who are literally attempting to institutionalize systematic sexual molestation of children. If you're a Democrat, you're either a pedophile or a pedophile sympathizer. This is QAnon all the way down. Republicans are repurposing old smears to taint Democrats as part of a shadowy cabal of child sex abusers.
Conservative political operatives have figured out what riles up their base, the fake threat that progressives are trying to indoctrinate their children, to groom them to become gay or trans. These terms, indoctrination, grooming, predator, accusing innocent people of being pedophiles or being soft on pedophiles, it is all so a very specific trigger for a group that is sinking its teeth into our political discourse. Folks like Marjorie Taylor Greene know that. There's a reason her pro-pedophile tweet is the attack du jour. It's a bat signal to QAnon.
They're scared. It wasn't just Joyanne Reed. It wasn't just Chris Hayes. CNN, Washington Post, National Interest, Vice News, outlet after outlet after outlet after outlet. They're all out within the course of 24 hours complaining. They're calling us groomers. They're calling us pedophiles. This is wrong. Why are they doing this? One, we're doing this because it's true. If you're an adult and you have a desire to speak to someone else's kindergartner about sex, you're a groomer. You are. That's at best, if not a flat-out pedophile. That's what you are. You are that. That's one. Two, why did we get them off balance? As I said before, I've never seen this before. I've never seen the right, especially on a cultural issue, get the communists off balance. They're always on the offense. We're always playing some version of defense. That's not true. Wait, guys, don't call me that. We're never on offense like this. They're never off balance, and they're certainly never afraid. So afraid they've had to mobilize the news outlets. How did we do that? Well, we learned. We learned from our enemy, as we should do. You see, for so long, there are so many losers on the right who will say things like, we can't win by becoming them. Come on, pay attention to history books. Of course you take the tactics your enemy uses on you that are working and you use them back on him. Communists right now are very afraid of being called groomers and pedophiles. They think that's a bridge too far. Oh, it's a bridge too far? Maybe the right learned it from this.
They want white supremacy by ventriloquist effect. There is a black mouth moving, but a white idea through the running on the runway of the tongue of a figure who justifies and legitimates the white supremacist practices.
You have had others who have openly embraced white supremacy.
I think the Republican Party is sort of this extremist, anti-science, nativist, embracing white supremacist insurrectionist party at this point.
White nationalists, anarchists, whatever in this country that are using mask mandates and a public health crisis to sort of wage chaos.
Domestic terrorism from white supremacists is the most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland.
What I know is the law, and what I know is what white people are willing to do to defend white supremacy.
Like the roots of the anti-abortion movement, these bans are rooted in patriarchy and white supremacy.
White supremacy, white supremacy, Nazis, white nationalists, white supremacy, 4 years of labeling their political opponents with terrible labels that cause the other side to feel as if they're in some kind of a war. And now you're upset we're doing the same thing? Oh, we've only just begun. And allow me to say one other thing before I move on to what they are actually doing. Don't listen to the people on the right telling you to slow down. Maybe you even have a little voice inside your head saying, I don't like this, maybe we should slow down, it's too much. No, that is the loser mentality that has killed us forever. That is the 1980s movie mentality where the guy is down, let's extend a hand and help him up. When your enemy is down, you finish him, press harder than you've ever pressed right now. I have never seen them so afraid. They are afraid for a reason. They were going to take a beating in November already. With this kind of stuff, if we keep our foot on the gas, it might be worse than anything we've ever seen. All that aside, let's do keep in mind, we do have a grooming problem. And before I play you this video, I know you've seen a bunch like it, but I'm going to play you another video. I want you to think about something right now. How often do we play videos for you of these teachers who are saying just terrible things about what they want to talk to kids, how they want to manipulate kids, but, right? We do that a lot, happens a lot. Now imagine this. Those are just the teachers who were dumb enough to pick up a phone and record it, and then also dumb enough to put it online for public consumption. And think how many of these videos we've played for you. If we have that many who are willing to record it and put it out there for public consumption, how many are smart enough to keep quiet about it? How many people like this are teaching your kids?
There's students as early as kindergarten who are identifying as non-gender conforming, non-binary, that are transgender. And so because they're in our school, they're in our classrooms, then that becomes a responsibility on the adults to say, okay, I have a student who identifies this way, and so it's my responsibility to make sure the classroom is inviting to them.
As a preschool teacher, a drag king, and as a member of the LGBTQ community, how do I feel about the new legislations for, like, the Don't Say Gay bill or the reporting of transgender kids? And while I don't see things like that too much in preschool, my opinion on it is that I don't care what the government tells me to do. I am going to do what I think is best for the health and safety, and that includes mental health and safety and emotional health and safety of my kids.
Think about that. That wildebeest you just saw right there talking about doing that to children, that's the one who's dumb enough to put it online. How many are smart enough to keep quiet about it out there? Oh, we have a grooming problem in this society, a major one. From the top down, we have a serious grooming problem. And look, culture, talk a lot about culture. What is culture? It's not complicated. People get confused. I can't define it. Culture is very easy to define. Culture is simply what your society incentivizes and what your society chooses to disincentivize. Do you understand that there was a poll taken? Nearly 21% of Americans born between 1997 and 2003 identify as LGBTQ. 21%? Do you know what that number was in 1946 and before, for people born in 1946 and before? Zero. Well, what happened? How did that happen? You see, even the generation before, the number doubled from 10 to 20. How did that happen? Did something, is there something in the water? Is it the atmosphere? Is it global warming? No. It's being pushed everywhere. That's why. We have children now mixed up, confused, choosing things they would never have chosen before because it is pushed by Disney, by Nickelodeon. It is pushed by their teachers. It is endless. You can't turn on a sitcom anymore without 19 gay characters. Rainbow flags all over your freaking Oreos. It's everywhere in this society, and now we have a lot more of it. Oh, by just happenstance, we also have a lot more child suicides, anxiety, and depression. Gee, I can't imagine why. I always thought it would be healthy if we had a society full of 12-year-old boys wanting to chop their penis off. We have this because it's being pushed. It's time to push back. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We have Amber Athey on tonight. She got canceled for an innocent joke. We have a panel about to join me next. They're going to discuss this stuff. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about something good. Let's talk about Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I love them. I've always had air purifiers. I always have had allergies that drive my eyes crazy. I always get them in the eyes. And you know, the air purifiers, the big towers you keep in, that makes that big sound. And so when I first got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, I got one at first. I unpackage it, and I looked at it, and I thought, what is this little thing? How's this going to do anything? And I plugged it in the wall. It was amazing. I walked back in my room, because that's where I had plugged it in about an hour. You could taste it. The air was so clean, you could taste it, because it cleans all the viruses and mold out of the air. It fixed my allergies. I went out and bought two more. You can own a three-pack, just like I have, if you go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse. That gets you a three-pack for $200 off. You get a three-pack for under $200. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
As a woman, especially a black woman, it's really hard for me to say anything negative about right. Kamala Harris, considering she fought hand and knee to get where she is, and sex work is work.
Well, here we are in the supermarket. We're standing here with the bare shelves. Look at it. There's absolutely nothing here. The shelves are bare. It's empty. It's empty like Sleepy Joe's brain when you think about it. There's absolutely nothing on the shelf. Look at it. Bare shelves all over the place. They say we're building back better, and yet we have nothing in the supermarkets. We're standing with the bare shelves. Bare shelves, Biden, okay? Empty shelves, Joe. It's a disgrace, believe me.
That's so good. Joining me now, Shamika Michelle, contributor with The Blaze, and Sean Farris. She is the founder of the Long Island Loud Majority. All right, Shamika, let's go to you first. Obviously, that was a great clip of yours. We didn't see much of that even 2-3 years ago, of the right, one being spicy and funny, but two, playing offense, attacking. Why do we see more of it now?
I think because most people are tired, or they at least should be. We have to, because the left is constantly coming at us with foolishness. And because we have been so quiet, we can see now that they are telling little boys they can have periods. And I think they have gone a bit too far. Not even a bit. They have gone way too far. And people are now saying too much is too much. And they're waking up, and we can't take it anymore. We have to fight fire with fire.
Sean, I do feel like they really stepped in it with this reaction to Florida's bill. I don't feel like the communists can help themselves. They're always moving forward. But their reaction from Disney and teachers and everyone else was so over the top. Parents across the country are horrified, and they really would have just let it go.
Yeah, I look, when you look at this bill and the way they've characterized the entire thing, you know, and the best thing was watching Ron DeSantis come right at the media, say, listen, what does it say in the bill? Where does it say that in the bill? And to prove to everybody that that's not exactly what this is. And by the way, if you need to be, you know, mandated, if it's got to be written in law for you to be told that you're not supposed to talk about certain things with 9-year-olds, maybe teaching isn't a good profession to get into. It's a huge overreaction. And I just, you know, to me, the whole thing is, I don't know. To me, it just reeks of the left outwoking itself once again and doubling down on stupidity and insanity. And for us now to go on offense and call it out, good. It's about time we did that. I know my organization is called Loud Majority because we believe there are more of us than there are of them. So there's no reason to stay silent anymore. And it's good to see that happen.
Sean, speaking of loud majorities and the teachers in this profession, one thing that has hit me, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm happy we're playing offense. I'm happy we're winning a culture war issue. That is good. But how in the world did we let this happen? I mean, it is clear this is not a one or two teacher problem. This is a widespread problem coast to coast in this country. What were we doing for the last 20 years on the right while these people infiltrated?
We were staying silent, right? We were sleeping. Our people became very content. We became comfortable, and we dropped out from an engagement standpoint. We stopped getting engaged, stopped getting involved. You see what happens when you start to get people involved, even if it's in as things as low level, if you want to call it, as school boards. The impacts are still far reaching. And once you get involved in the process in one part of the arena, you can start to get involved in the process in other parts of the arena. We've seen here on Long Island folks who have just become addicted to winning, addicted to working, addicted to getting something tangible done and changing things for the better. And we've seen that happen over and over and over again, that we have a very passionate base of people that are ready to make change at the school board level and the primary level and then all the way up to governor. I mean, in New York, don't be surprised if you see it happen in New York, a Republican governor in 2022. We got a real shot, but it's because of the people on the ground finally waking up. Because what happened in the past, how this happened, and they infiltrated the schools and the HOAs and the PTAs and the BOEs, they did this because we let them. We didn't think it was happening. We never woke up to that fact. Now we're awake to that fact. Now we see that this is what was going on, and we're putting an end to it. We've driven a stake through the spokes here and tripped up the cycle.
Shamika, I'll be honest. I've been looking forward to asking you this question all day long, but I'm going to play you the video first. They remade Cracker Jacks into Cracker Jills, and, well, here was the new version of Take Me Out to the Ballgame.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jill. No one can stop you if you have the will. So let's root, root, root for a girl's dream. We're adding our face to the game, and we'll run, throw with never a doubt. It's a new ball.
Play ball.
Shamika, please.
You know, Jesse, this makes me just realize that the kids that had class in the basement that flung feces all over the wall are now in corporate positions. This is really ridiculous, and it just shows the idiocy of the left. Why would you need to take Cracker Jack and make it Cracker Jill? I ate Cracker Jack growing up, and I never thought about whether this was offensive to women or anything like this. I ate Cracker Jacks until Crunch-a-Munch came along. Now I believe the lesbians will probably eventually come to get that name as well, because this is just foolish. It was not necessary, and we're making everything so woke and ridiculous. I won't even eat Cracker Jack anymore. Someone asked me, is this the same taste just without the nuts? It doesn't matter. I don't even want it anymore.
All right. Finally, I have one more I have to toss to you, Shamika, and then I'm going to toss it to Sean after this. Barack Obama visited the White House yesterday. And look, full disclosure, I despise Barack Obama, probably more than any politician ever. But the dude does drip charisma. And boy, was that evident yesterday when poor Joe was sauntering around the White House with Barack there.
Four premiums for nearly 1 million people who need it, and allow 200,000 more uninsured Americans get access to coverage.
Shamika, this is so embarrassing.
Yes, it's very embarrassing for the person who claims to be the most popular president in history. You have to bring in the guy that has the swag that looks like he has a pack of Cools in his back pocket all the time. You know, it speaks volumes. And for anyone who actually did go out and vote for this senile old man who looks like he wets the bed, they should feel really, really dumb right now, because that's exactly how we look as a country. We look weak, and we look like we're open for attack. He didn't even know where he was, poor thing. I think they had to, when you know, move him around, his handlers, and when they got distracted by the cool man, the cool, tall black man in the suit, he got lost because he had no idea where he was.
Sean, you mentioned earlier that New York might turn blue, and I've got to be honest, I look at videos like that, and I can't help but feel like, you know, yeah, New York's a blue state, But there are a lot of Democrats, not the public ones, but there are Democrats who do love the country, and they look at that and they're embarrassed and they're horrified by what's happened to this country and happened to states like New York. Do you think that's going to contribute at all to some blue places going red?
I do. I think what you're going to see, especially in a state like New York, is a lot of guilt by association, right? So, you know, the people are not happy about gas prices. You know, the people are not happy about inflation. You know, the people are not happy about, you know, some of our foreign policy mistakes like Afghanistan and so forth. You know, that there's a lot of people who are starting to talk about the southern border, you know, because fentanyl is becoming something that is impacting everybody. It used to be a once on a here and a here and a here. Now it's happening to everybody. Everyone's been touched by fentanyl in some way. You know, and it's a tragedy. That's the real public health emergency. And what you'll see happening in New York is a guilt by association. Kathy Hochul, our governor, is a diehard radical left-wing lunatic, in my opinion, wearing a necklace that says vaxxed, telling people to be her vaccine apostles, you know, here in New York State. Kathy Hochul is out of her mind, and while she may not echo, you know, the same words as Joe Biden, she's going to suffer a guilt by association for some of those gas prices and inflation issues and things that we've seen when it comes to masking the children and vaccine requirements all throughout the state. You know, and it's going to take those people who are Democrats who may look at Donald Trump and go, listen, I don't like that guy, but I would vote for a change in New York because things are getting worse. We've been under Democrats for so long. Andrew Cuomo, Kathy Hochul. I mean, you've seen this just the last 8 or so years in New York, how bad things have gotten. So they're not going to go out there and vote for the same. This is going to be a time where somebody, I'm behind a guy, his name's Lee Zeldin, okay? Think he's going to come out there and extend the olive branch to the state and say, listen, let me just lead you out of this. What do you have to lose? We can't lose this time. It's not an option. That's a message that I believe that New York State voters are going to get behind. Not just Republican voters, but independent voters, and even, yes, Democrat voters who are sick and tired of this.
Sean, Shamika, thank you guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. We got more good news coming. It's a happy show tonight. But first, where do you get your health insurance? Do you feel good when you make that health insurance payment? When you get that bill every month and you think, oh gosh, you have to send up, do you feel good about it? What if you could have great health insurance at a great price and feel good about paying your bills? You can. It's called OneShare Health. OneShare Health is a faith-based insurance group. They care so much about giving back. 5% of your monthly goes to veterans struggling with PTSD. They have all the coverage you could ever want. Go to my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly gets you $75 off your enrollment fee. Go now. Well, apparently you can't tell jokes in this country anymore. I wish someone had told me. My next guest is a friend of mine, and she made a joke at the expense of Vice President Dome. Oh, I'm sorry, Vice President Harris. I'm sorry I misspoke there. You remember when Dome wore the all-brown outfit at the State of the Union, and Amber Athey came on and said she looks like a UPS employee, which was hilarious because she did actually look like a UPS employee, and we all laughed about it and got a little snicker for 5 minutes. Ha ha ha, that's hilarious, Amber. We all moved on, right? Except for not everyone apparently thought it was as funny as we all did. Amber got fired for this? Joining me now, the Washington editor of The Spectator, Amber Athey, and I'm apparently no longer an employee of Cumulus. Amber, what happened?
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story, Jesse. As you mentioned, I sent that tweet during the State of the Union, and everybody was fine with it. It honestly wasn't one of my best jokes. I just kind of sent it out there as a throwaway tweet. You know, whatever. Women aren't that funny anyway, so we do the best we can, as you know. But a few days later, I ended up getting involved in this other Twitter spat about an entirely separate issue, which is the issue of transgender children and whether or not they should be allowed to take things like puberty blockers or undergo transition surgeries, which the left likes to refer to as gender affirmation surgeries. And I'm very against that. And some left-wing activists who are of the pronouns and bio ilk decided that I needed to be silenced before people would start actually listening to what I had to say. They went back and were combing through my tweets, found this Kamala Harris joke screenshotted it, tried to reframe it to say that the "What can Brown do for you" comment was about her skin color. Naturally, started sending emails to my employers, and Cumulus was the only one who actually fell for it.
Okay, now I need you to help me understand this, Amber, because Cumulus is not a small company. This is a gigantic corporation. They have several voices on the right. They employ people like my friend Dan Bongino, Larry O'Connor, all kinds of my friends who are very far right wing are on there. This seems so odd for them to decide that you're just expendable because of an obvious joke. Explain it to me.
There's a couple of things going on here. The first of which is that Cumulus is filled with liberals, okay? So they profit really handsomely off of conservative content, but they don't actually have conservative values. And so for them, if they're getting these emails from left-wing activists, they assume that the easy and correct thing to do is to just say, okay, we're washing our hands of this person. And then the other part of it was that I was a part-time co-host who had only been with the station for 6 months. So they thought that I was disposable, and I presume that they must have thought that I was going to stay silent about what happened to me, but actually the opposite happened, because my first instinct after I got this termination phone call was, I'm going to blast these people because this is unjust and ridiculous.
I am glad you did, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that leads me right into my next question, is why do people on the right so often cower when these things happen? They cower, they hide, they don't get bold about it. I love what you did, because it's not very common on our side. We sit and we just complain and, well, it did happen to me, I can't believe this happened, instead of attacking back the other way. Why?
So many reasons. I mean, you'll hear conservatives say, well, it's not in our principles to use the left tactics against them. And I say, well, what will you have left to defend with your, you know, your beautiful principles if the left takes everything from you? And then also, people are worried about future opportunities and whether or not they're going to be seen as a troublemaker. I think I'm already seen that way, so it doesn't really matter to me. And then there's the additional backlash, naturally, that you get from these left-wing activists celebrating the fact that you got fired and thinking that it's the greatest thing ever, and then going back and digging even further in your history and finding things from, like, high school and middle school, and just trying to paint you as this horrible person. So I'll admit, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do, but if you look at the past 3 years and everything that the left and the government has done to us, whether it's taking our jobs, shutting down our churches and communities, telling kids in, you know, third grade that they need to be hating their own skin color or one of 30 made-up gender identities, it's not good enough anymore to say that you're afraid of the social and professional consequences, because pretty soon we're not going to have a country left to defend.
Yeah, look, I don't have any problem with any of that. I like it. I'll actually go a step further. That actually brings into mind this little video, Taylor Lorenz with the Washington Post, this little clip from MSNBC. I thought it was fantastic.
I've had to remove every single social tie. I had severe PTSD from this. I contemplated suicide. It got really bad. You feel like any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet to destroy your life. And it's so isolating.
And terrifying.
It's horrifying. I'm so sorry. It's overwhelming. It's really hard.
I'm glad that it made you laugh, too.
Oh, gosh. Well, one, it did make me laugh. Two, I think scumbag communist journalists should all have PTSD. I think we should give it to all of them.
Well, obviously, she's lying about that anyway. I mean, give me a freaking break. I mean, I know a lot of people who, you know, actually have committed suicide. And the idea that she's going to throw that out there on MSNBC to try to guilt trip people into not saying mean things to her on the internet is frankly disgusting. But besides that, she is one of the worst reapers of cancel culture. She literally made her career on it. She was behind the attempted cancellation of the CEO of Away, a travel company, and is constantly on the internet trying to talk about, I completely forgot about this until just now. She made up a quote from somebody on Clubhouse to try to cancel them by calling them a racist. And luckily there were other people in the same room who found out that this individual never actually said what she accused them of. And then she, you know, ripped apart the Conway family by elevating their teenage daughter, who was obviously having issues, And now she's going to turn around and cry when the same thing happens to her. I mean, give me a break. And she is the person behind so much of this culture. And I'd love to see it turned around on them. They deserve it.
Oh, they certainly do. It's wonderful. All right, that's enough. That's enough of the ugly stuff. Let's talk about the good companies out there like The Spectator, who didn't cancel Amber and have no intention of doing so. What have you been doing over there? You've been talking a lot about the woke garbage in this country.
Yeah, The Spectator is fantastic. We got a few emails over there about the Kamala Harris tweet, and not only did we laugh and delete them, but we also looked up the email addresses in our subscriber base because a few of them claimed that they were subscribers to the magazine and found out that, of course, they were lying. That's another part of this. The people who, you know, canceled me from Cumulus have never even heard of WMAL or listened to it in their entire lives. So I think The Spectator deserves amazing credit for standing up for me and being willing to publish my story about what happened. I'm also actually wrapping up a book right now about cancel culture. Very ironically, I never thought that I would be like the prime example of that happening in my life, but here we are. I guess I have to add a little section about that in the book, but I'm really excited to be finishing that up as well.
Please come back on here and sell your book as soon as it's done. Amber Athey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jesse.
You bet. All right, we have more good news, potentially. Durham investigation, it's not going away. I thought it was going to go away. I thought nothing was going to come of it. It looks like things are coming of it, and that is a good thing. All right, I know you don't have to look hard to find a company out there that disgusts you. And you say to yourself, same thing I say. The wife and I have these conversations all the time. Oh, let's go out and buy this. Oh, we can't buy that. Did you hear what they say? Did you hear about the ad they ran? Did you hear about the it's constant. How do you navigate this world? How do you know which company shares your values and which one doesn't? Public SQ. Pick up your phone right now. Whether it's Google Play, Apple phone, whatever, go download the Public SQ app. It's easy. And then you just sit there and you find out, oh, that coffee shop, they stood up against the COVID measures. Oh, that's where I'm going down to get a cup of coffee. Oh, well, that restaurant, look at them. They're out there saying, we do serve cops proudly here. Oh, you want to know who shares your values? Go download Public SQ from the App Store. It's all right there in your fingertips. I love it. We'll be back. I'm just a happy guy tonight. Just good news after good news after good news. This Durham investigation. And I know we named the show I'm Right, and it's fun to be obnoxious about all the times I was right, but I might have been wrong. I know, just saying, it's first time ever, but I might have been wrong. I got to be honest. I never thought this Durham investigation was going to go anywhere. I had so little faith that anybody in power was ever held to account that I just didn't think anything would happen. And I might still turn out to be right on that, but I'll tell you what, this thing is ramping up. Let me give you the latest here. Michael Sussman, Clinton lawyer Michael Sussman, all right, Clinton's lawyer, he wrote, he texted FBI counsel James Baker, and this is what he said. Just follow with me for a second. Jim, it's Michael Sussman. I have something time-sensitive and sensitive I need to discuss. Do you have availability for a short meeting tomorrow? I'm coming on my own. Not on behalf of a client or company. I want to help the Bureau. Thanks. I want to help the Bureau. Hillary Clinton's campaign lawyer wants to help out the Bureau. That's interesting. Why is that important? Well, it shows he lied to the FBI. Per Durham's latest motion, quote, the defendant lied in that meeting, falsely stating to the general counsel that he was not providing the allegations to the FBI on behalf of any client. In fact, the defendant had assembled and conveyed the allegations to the FBI on behalf of at least two specific clients, a technology executive and the Clinton campaign. You see, he texted that it wasn't involved. This wasn't on behalf of any client. He's just here to help, just a do-gooder. But, of course, that was a lie. He was there pouring honey into the ears of the FBI on behalf of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Durham also says he's going to present evidence that proves Sussman worked with the Clinton campaign to promote the lie that Donald Trump colluded with Russia. we might actually get to the bottom of something. And speaking about getting to the bottom of something, we all know, you know this, I'm not going to tell you about the Hunter Biden laptop again. You know about it. You know what's on it. We've gone over it 1,000 times on this show. You know there were witnesses. You know we have documentation. And you also know about the words, the big guy. 10% for the big guy. This is something well known on the right. If you talk to your friend who only watches CNN, they won't have any idea what that means, but it's kind of a big deal. Okay, so we have Hunter Biden. We have Hunter Biden being corrupt, and Hunter Biden being corrupt with someone else. 10% for the big guy. Who's the big guy? Who's getting a cut? Well, we have guys like Tony Bobulinski. You remember who was involved in all this, and he said, well, that's Joe Biden. Well, now the grand jury is asking, who's the big guy? Uh-oh. We got real, real trouble coming on the home front. It's glorious. Of course, Jen Psaki is still holding the line.
The president has said that he never spoke to his son about his overseas business dealings. Is that still the case?
Yes.
That's weird because it says 10% for the big guy. I have it right here. 10% for the big guy. That's what it says. Yeah, he spoke with his son. Joe Biden's been knee-deep involved with his son in every scummy thing he's done. And it doesn't matter that Jen Psaki's going to lie about it. You see, Hunter Biden, genius that he is not only apparently a career criminal, he's a career criminal who records all these things on laptops that he forgets at the repair shop. Oh, gosh, I love it. All right, we have a great light in the mood coming up next. But before we get to that, obviously, we talked to Amber Athey earlier about getting canceled for a joke. You watch this show. How many jokes do I tell? If you listen to my radio show, how many jokes do you hear there? If you follow me on social media, how many jokes do you hear there? You know how many times the first has ever reached out to me and said, don't say that, I'm uncomfortable? Zero. Not once. You think they don't get complaints? They don't care. Go support the first. Become a First TV supporter. A supporter of a company that actually believes in free speech. Go to thefirsttv.com/support and sign up today. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. It's confession time. You ready for this? Sometimes the wife and I go to sporting events. Baseball game, hockey game, football game, whatever. We enjoy sporting events. She was a competitive gymnast at the University of Arizona, so she's all into sports. I'm into sports. I'm a dude. We going to sporting events. But she has a complaint about me when it comes to sporting events. I like to eat. Obviously, if you watch the show, if you listen to my radio show, you know I enjoy eating. I have an unhealthy obsession with food, she says. And because of that, when we go to sporting events, we go down to the baseball game, I spend a lot of time not actually in my seat watching the game. I'm always back at the concession stand. Ooh, hey, look, funnel cakes, hot dog, gotta try the nachos, better grab a beer on the way back. I am who I am. But I have to be honest, after watching how this Kiss Cam video turned out, I think I'm going to be spending a lot more time in my seat than I did before.
Okay, hey, it doesn't matter if you don't know each other. Come on, hey, come on, let's go. They can do it. They don't know each other.
Oops. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.